Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. And for once, I can say I'm in Maine and it's not snowing. I've got coffee. I've got Coach Sanborn on the line. We're going to talk. We're going to brew up some awesome baseball, percolate baseball, as we say. It's sunny out. It's gorgeous. And Coach Sanborn, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
It's awesome to have you here. And we were talking before the show. I'm glad you guys won this past weekend because it might not have been as fun of a phone call, but you said you wouldn't have taken it out on the show.
Anyway. I certainly would not have taken it out on you. But I am in a better mood when I win. My wife would
exactly.
Tell
I think
you
everybody
that for sure.
is. So, all right. So that, we have Coach Sanborn on the phone with us. He's the head baseball coach for St. Joseph's College here in Maine, and gosh, Coach Sanborn, I couldn't even fit your whole bio in the show description. I had to kind of hack at it a little bit, but is this your 25th season or 26th
season?
26th season. I've got to correct that on here. But this is a legendary program you've got at St. Joe's. I call it St. Joe's. Is that correct? I always call it St. Joe's. Everybody
yes.
call it St. Joseph's or St. Joe's?
St. Joseph's, I prefer.
Okay, St. Joseph's College in Maine. All right, good. And it's just one of the best D3 baseball programs in the country. And I was you got elected to the Maine Baseball Hall of Fame in 2013 and all these things. How much fun are you having
doing
all this?
Oh, it's great. It's really an amazing experience. And my family's really involved in it. That means a lot, too. It's been a terrific ride. It beats working for a living, that's for sure. So,
have you always played baseball? Like, what was little kid you like? Like, at age 3, were you, you know, batting baseballs around? Or how'd that go? Like, what were you as a little kid?
Yeah, it's a big part of my life growing up. Baseball was a big thing in our home. I have a younger brother, a couple years younger. My dad was a great baseball player at Little Standish High School here right down the road. Played for a legendary high school coach called Roop Johnson. Roop had some amazing teams, and he had his own bat shop in town, kind of a legendary guy. He was the principal of Standish High School and coached the baseball and basketball teams. I grew up on those kinds of stories about Roop and his coaching and about baseball. It's been a big part of my life since forever.
Since forever, yeah, I love that. Now, one of the things that seems like it's shifting is that when people hear Maine, they think baseball now, and I think you've been a really big part of that. Do you want to talk about that? Because I'm not sure people go, yeah, Maine, baseball. I think they go, yeah, lobster or something like that. But more and more and more people are like, yeah, Maine, baseball. We've got some great baseball here.
Yeah, Maine has a great baseball tradition, and I think it has for a long time. Maybe it's just out there a little more now with social media and awareness and the way all that goes. But Maine's had a long baseball tradition. Great players, great coaches. It's been a big part of the Maine scene for a long time. So.
Yeah. And now in 2014, you became the 44th coach in the history of NCAA D3 baseball to reach the 600 victory plateau. Talk about that a little bit, and where we are, you know, now, and what does a stat like that mean to you and to everyone?
Well, and actually, I just hit 700 a couple of weeks ago here at St. Joseph, so it's a nice thing. It's a nice milestone, but I don't really look at it as a personal thing. I mean, if you think about it, coaches get all kinds of credit for stuff that they probably don't do. I mean, it's players that win games. It's nice to think of, okay, the guys that have played for me and come through the program have had a good tradition of success and generated 700 plus wins now, but it's a lot more about the players. Those are the guys that win the ball games. Sometimes as the coach, or particularly as the manager during the game, you're just trying not to lose the game. You want to have a positive impact on the game, but also let your players do their thing. So it's just a lot of good players. We've had a lot of great support here, tremendous assistant coaches and support from the entire institution. So it's been a great ride, but every day when you take the field, there's somebody over there in the other dugout that's trying to beat your butt. So you better be ready. You can't be thinking
exactly
about what's happened in the past. So
yeah, can you talk about your son? You said assistant coach, and one of them is a son who happens to be just one of the nicest people I've ever met. What a kind human being! Can you talk about
Thank
him
you.
A little bit and his role?
Well, he's a lot like his mother, if you say that. So, he's a great kid. He's Lincoln is my son. He just took a full time job here at St. Joseph's. He's our JV baseball coach, and he also does a lot of booking for our athletic fields and our athletic facilities. We have a new turf soccer and lacrosse and field hockey field on campus. So he kind of in charge of booking that and renting it out. But it's been great to, be involved with him all the way up through and coaching summer ball. And then he ended up coming to school here and playing for us and now as a coach. So that's tremendous each day. We spend a lot of time around each other. We're pretty darn close friends. It's just been a terrific experience to be involved with your family. My wife works here as well on campus. So the only one that's not actively here is my daughter. She's out in Las Vegas. She's a ballerina. She works for Nevada Ballet Theater. She's a professional ballet dancer. So she's the one that's not right here tied to St. Joseph's. But it's really been a family event all the way along. And it's been great. You see a lot of coaches over the years who sometimes coaching impacts their families negatively. And for me, that's only been a positive. My family's been so involved with it. It's been great.
Yeah. We'll have to have your daughter on, too, on To Best Ever You. We could have Valerie on now, too. We'll keep it in the family, right? So one of the things that I can hardly get words out for it, is the facility there. I think that is probably one of the most beautiful facilities. I don't know if that's the correct baseball term or not, but in my head, that's what I say.
It is
just gorgeous, and it's like a gem, and I'm just wondering if you could talk about that. How's that for a question?
Sorry,
it was choppy.
No, I'd be happy to. And the baseball field always looks a lot better than my lawn does at home, so I can tell you that for sure. We take a lot of pride in our field, and I think it comes from the fact that when I played here at St. Joseph's years ago, I graduated in 1986. The first few years, we didn't have a field. We drove off campus to play, and it was only my senior year. That was the first year that we played on campus. And at that point, the field was nothing but, a great big, huge field with, no dugouts, no lights, no scoreboard, no nothing. And over the years, we've done a lot of fundraising. The school's been real supportive. We've added a little bit to it every year. And all the while, we've tried to really focus on, maintaining what we have, and keeping it up and respecting it and treating it right. And then each year trying to add something new to it of significance. And now we have a great facility, but we're also looking to do more with it. I'm thinking here in the next year or so, all I could say at this point is we're hoping to take that facility to the next level, which is very exciting for me.
Yeah. Indoor dome. No, just kidding. Can you imagine?
Well, it all depends on what we can
we're
raise.
We're needing
but,
it. After season. and one of the other things that impressed me a lot too is that it's not just your baseball field, you open your field up for the kids locally to play.
Why don't we try to? We've got a good tradition of hosting the main high school baseball and softball tournaments here, the main principal association tournaments. And those have been really great for us over the years. It attracts a ton of people to campus. It's probably the second largest event outside of commencement that we run here on campus. Great visibility for our institution, and you know, helps us bring a lot of prospects and their families onto campus. So that's been a good tradition, and we have, you know, summer teams that play here, and we try to juggle it all with not overusing the thing. We want it to be in good shape when our players use it. I think baseball people really appreciate great baseball fields. I think it's just something a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, basketball courts, I guess, I don't know, maybe they're all the same. I don't know. But to me, baseball fields only all have their own personality. And over the years as a baseball player, you play on a lot of not-so-nice fields. It's special to play on a nice one.
Yeah, I think you know it when you step onto one. It's pretty special when it's a great baseball field. And it's in your memory, kind of, isn't it? It's like, yeah, I remember playing on that field or whatever. I want to go play on that field.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or sit there as a parent, you know what I mean, and be like,
right.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. Let me shift gears a little bit and talk about student-athlete. And this is one of the things when we have coaches on, if we're so blessed to have you here, and we're wondering if we can pick your brain a little bit on some questions about, like, goals and student-athletes, you know, and all the things that are beyond baseball, might be intertwined with baseball or whatever, but can you talk about, like, what a student-athlete means to you?
Absolutely. For us at the Division III level, it's really neat because what we're asking our guys to do is make a huge commitment to their baseball, year-round commitment, summer ball, fall baseball with us, strength training all year round, you know, a tremendous commitment to try to help them develop as players. But their academics needs to be a priority that's even, you know, over and above that. And they need to juggle all of that and make it all work and walk out of here with their degree in 4 years and have a, you know, a good solid resume that they can, you know, build a career and build a life on. So, you know, that's really what we're all about here. I think one of the things you have to always keep in mind as a coach and as a program is, you know, why you do what you do. And it's not really, you know, winning and losing baseball games. It's not really winning championships, as odd as that might sound. It's about, for us, it's about really creating a future for our guys where they have a great education and they learn as much about themselves and about how to work together with other people and be good teammates, be productive and be hardworking and commit themselves to something bigger than themselves individually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what it's about, is their development. And if we win some baseball games along the way, then that's a good byproduct of it.
You really touch lives, and it's at a critical point, and it's at a young age. I mean, most of the kids are probably, what, like 18, 19, 20?
Yeah,
right?
They're all in that, 17 or 18 to 22 range, and it's you know, such an important time. They're getting out on their own. They're, you know, getting out away from their parents and their families a little bit. And they're, you know, they're kind of setting the course for the rest of their lives. And we try to just make sure that for them that the character piece, you know, who they are, is the most important part of what they're doing. And then their academics is, you know, not very far behind that. And then we kind of keep baseball as kind of a third priority. And I think when we do that, we have really good baseball teams because we have guys that are really focused and well-balanced.
Yeah. Now, in 26 years of doing this, you must have accumulated a massive amount of wedding invitations, baby announcements. It's got to be incredible.
Yeah, those are really fun. Those are really fun when they happen. And then, you know, just guys that, you know, follow the team and played here, and they shoot you a text when you get a big win or a big milestone or going into a conference tournament or whatever it is. It's really nice that they, they move on, they graduate, they build the rest of their lives, but they always feel connected to this, and a lot of them have a real kind of an itch in the spring when, you know, they're missing baseball season when they're out at their job somewhere. They're kind of wishing they were back here in the heyday. So it's a lot of fun that way, for sure.
Do you ever have everybody back, or as many people as can come back, put the uniform back on and divide them up and play or anything like that? Is there like an alumni game or anything?
There is every fall, and it's one of the highlights of the year for me to have all those guys come back and, you know, take batting practice on the field and have a game and reminisce in the dugouts. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds actually like a lot of fun. Now, can we talk about goals a little bit? Like, as a, you know, when you're operating as a head baseball coach, it's a really high level of helping people be their best. I mean, you're leading them. You're doing all sorts of things. Do you have a personal way that you could share with us about how you set goals or anything like that? It's a kind of a question I ask on here because I love goal setting personally.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, a couple different things about that. One of the things that we really focused on a lot this year with our team is just having our guys buy into the idea that this is all part of their growth and their development, and having it, you know, really embracing a growth mindset in everything we do, from practice to games. I just think that's a real healthy way to approach things. Sometimes we make individual games or innings, excuse me, or at bats or whatever, we make those things more important than they really are in the grand scheme of things. You know, we tend to put more weight on things that are happening right now than looking at them as part of one's long-term growth. So when you can actually kind of embrace all of the failure that baseball creates for you, I think it just creates a more healthy atmosphere. And then we go through, you know, typical things that teams do where we have guys writing, you know, individual goals and short-term goals and long-term ones. And then writing, you know, kind of team goals and for what we're trying to do. So I don't think there's anything, you know, out of the ordinary that we do with that other than really try to focus on the short-term and the here and now.
Yeah. What do you do if somebody comes to you with, like, a really lofty goal? Like, you know, how do you let them be lofty?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think
that's fun.
Occasionally during, you know, the recruiting process, sometimes that happens where, you know, you'll ask a young man what his goals are. That's a regular part of our official visit when we do that with recruits.
Yeah.
You know, we want to know what makes them tick and what their goals are. And, you know, you'll occasionally get guys who will say, you know, I want to play professional baseball. I want to play in the big leagues, whatever it might be. Now, I may look at that player and say, you know, in the back of my mind that, okay, the odds of that are pretty slim. But if a young man has a goal like that that is really lofty, then if he shoots for it, even if he doesn't reach it, he's going to reach his individual personal potential. So I think you always want to have some realism, but it's good to have high goals and high expectations. The part that I think, you know, sometimes players can forget or overlook, and this is where coaching comes in, is, hey, if you want to reach that lofty goal at the end, you better put in the day-to-day effort that it takes to get there. You better have a good, solid plan and execute it every day. And don't just have a, you know, have a dream that's out there, but have a goal and then have a process that you're using to work towards that. So that's what we try to get them to do.
Yeah. Can you talk about your decision, when that was, when you're like, you know, I think I'm going to coach?
I think I always knew I wanted to coach, just because I grew up in a house where probably the most revered guy that was ever talked about was this Rupert Johnson of Standish High School. And, you know, I grew up you know, I mean, he was looked at in my house as like a doctor or a lawyer or a president,
yeah.
or, you know.
A president, I mean, yeah, I guess I know that feeling. Like,
you know,
that's
so
funny. That's baseball coaches.
I think, you know, if I was doing a psychoanalysis of myself, I think that's probably where it came from. Was just that was the way he was revered by my father, I think really got me thinking about, okay, this is something I want to do with my life. Now, you know, when you're a young kid, you want to be John Havlicek, or you want to be Wade Boggs, or, you know, you want to play in the big leagues or whatever it is.
Sure.
But then as you go along, you may tend to realize that, I think I did, that you know, my biggest contribution to the game could be as a coach. I think I'm a hell of a lot better coach than I ever was a player. I think that's probably true of a lot of good coaches. And then I think a lot of it is just things that happen in life. I mean, my goal was to be a high school coach. And I was coaching, you know, junior varsity baseball at Bon Eagle High School after I graduated from St. Joseph's. I was teaching history over there. I loved every minute of it. Loved teaching. And then Rick Simons, who was the athletic director here at St. Joseph's and our men's basketball coach at the time, called me and said, "Hey, we want you to be our assistant baseball coach at St. Joseph's." I said, "Nah, I really want to be a high school coach. That's what I want to do. You know, how can I coach at the college level and teach and still be teaching at high school?" And I said no and hung up the phone, and then he called me back. He wouldn't give up. He said, "Hey, I think if you take this, you know, you got a future in college coaching. It'd be a really good move for you." So he kind of twisted my arm, and I became the assistant. And 2 years later, the head job was open, and I was fortunate enough to get that at, you know, at 28 years old. So,
wow.
Some of it's just the way things happen in life, you know.
And, well, what I love about that story, too, is, and I'm hoping you can talk about this, too, is mentoring and people who might see something in you that you don't quite see in yourself at the moment or the time and so forth. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit to maybe the youth or, well, anybody really, because I even love that as a 48-year-old adult, you know, and somebody says, you know,
right.
You could be doing this or whatever. You know, I think those people that touch your life and send you in a different direction or you know, give you a new skill set or whatever it is, they're so cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I think self-doubt is probably a natural part of the human condition, right, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we all have that. And sometimes we don't maybe have the lofty goals that we should. And sometimes it's, you know, it's just little things that people do or say to you that get you to take that risk,
mm-hmm.
and go outside of your comfort level and you know, take a shot at doing stuff. Sometimes when it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, when I started coaching here, it was, you know, it was part-time. I was still teaching at the high school as a you know, an assistant. And then when the head job opened up and I got it paid, you know, paid $5,000, fall and spring baseball, recruiting, the whole works. You know, I was a head college baseball coach, but I was also, you know, teaching,
yep.
teaching high school full-time to make it all work.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife's been a tremendous influence on me. Her encouragement all the way through the process has been huge.
What's
I remember
her name?
That Lynn.
Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Lynn Brown. You know, the first year I was here as a head coach, I almost didn't get through the year. We were 11-21. We just weren't very good. And it was a tough, tough year. But, you know, she encouraged me all the way along, as did, you know, all the people here at St. Joseph's. And, you know, just through grinding it out, a lot of hard work over the years, I guess we made something here. So,
yeah, you sure have. It's pretty remarkable. Can you talk about the difference between, do you ever come across anybody who's, like, coachable versus uncoachable? Do you know what I mean by that? I'm a really big fan of, like, I have four boys, and they're 16, 18, 20, and 22, and whether you play a sport or not, I've always kind of encouraged them to be open to learning, like lifelong learning, lifelong learning, lifelong learning. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things that we try to really look for in the recruiting process is guys that are coachable. So I have a great group of those guys now. I'd say the vast, vast majority of our players at this point are very, very coachable guys. I think being coachable is kind of a little bit like having character, right? Having character is what you do when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Being coachable is, you know, are you the guy will take direction from a coach, from a leader, from somebody else that hopefully you have respect for, and then will you take that and really try to implement it to improve yourself? Or, you know, when the coach turns his back, do you try to, you know, do you go back to your old way? Do you go to what's more comfortable? Do you say, well, I'm good enough the way I am? And we're just really fortunate here to have guys that accept that and have that kind of a growth mindset that, hey, it's all about getting better every day. We're not running a boys' school here. We're not just holding them for a certain amount of time. We're trying to help them develop on and off the field. And I think, you know, guys really buy into that. Now, there are different approaches with different players. So sometimes it's finding that, being able to unlock that key to what can bring out the best in that young man. Is it a pat on the butt? Is it an arm around their shoulder? Is it a kick in the butt? Is it, you know, exactly what is it?
I was waiting for you to say that, a kick in the butt.
You know, we don't use that one too often nowadays, but you know, it's finding what motivates people. It's really handling, you know, working with people and handling people. That's what the whole thing is. My son said that to me a number of times this year, that, you know, it's just about, you know, managing people and trying to get the best out of them. So.
Yeah. There. Okay. So, again, you know, I'm not from here, and I keep learning new things every day. I'm a lifelong learner of Maine, I think. And
sure.
I keep learning all of these different things as I read and do all this stuff.
You're,
but
you're from away.
I am from away, I guess, and no matter what I do, nothing's going to change that. And that's okay. I'm good with that, everybody. It's good. But there's someone that a lot of people talk about from your team, and I hope I say his name right and everything, but there's a baseball player by the name of Charlie Furbush, and people always talk about him, and that he's just in connection with you and your team and everything, and I was wondering if you might take a minute or two and chat about him, because
sure.
I got, when I said you were coming on the show, everybody's like, ask him about, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Charlie's probably one of the biggest steals of my coaching career. South Portland High kid, who, you know, coming up through high school, was a big, tall, lanky, left-handed pitcher who, fortunately for me, had kind of a down sophomore, junior year where he was going through some physical things and really didn't come into his own as a high school pitcher even until junior and really even into his senior year. So it's interesting because I think in today's recruiting, and as competitive as it is, I don't know if I could even land a Charlie Furbush today, you know, with as many, you know, Division I and II coaches that are out there, as, you know, scooping up a lot of these guys that have that type of potential. But we were fortunate enough to, you know, be in the right place at the right time and recruit Charlie, and he came here, and he was a real difference maker, and he was in a great class of recruits. Kids like Brian Schools from Gorham and Luke Enman from New Hampshire, guys that really helped impact our program and Charlie was right there in that group. Charlie was only here a couple of years. After his freshman year, went down pitching the Cape Cod League in the summer. He went down to a tryout for the Cape League. And in the tryout, he struck out all six batters he faced.
Wow.
And then he got signed to a temporary contract and ended up sticking for the whole year in the Cape League. He went back his sophomore year, and I believe he started the All-Star game in the middle of the season. That's how well he was pitching after his sophomore year in the Cape League, which is tremendous. And then we got a list of about 30 Division I schools that were trying to kind of recruit him out from under us.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course,
and,
right?
And then
sounds
for his
good
junior
though,
year.
Right?
Yeah. He yeah. ended up transferring to Louisiana State University and playing there. And then got drafted by the Tigers. I think it was like in the sixth round. So, and Charlie's had a good major league career. Right now he's trying to bounce back from some shoulder issues. So he was last with the Mariners for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's trying to kind of rehab and hopefully take a crack at professional baseball again next year. But great kid, really difference maker for our program. And I think still has a real strong real strong connection to St. Joseph's. So.
Yeah, and he's from this area, like grew up here. You said
yep.
South Portland kid, right?
Grew up right in South Portland. His dad,
that's awesome.
You know, coached a Legion team in there, and great family, great people. So,
what's your favorite baseball movie? I'm just curious because as you were talking about that, all I could think of was like the you know that movie The Sandlot.
Yeah.
I love that
yes,
movie.
I do. Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Favorite
if I have,
baseball movies?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I'm not really a movie guy, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe The Natural. I don't know. Something like
that. Oh,
that's
a good movie, too. Yeah. Yeah, I've watched all those. They're cool. Okay. So we're going to – I'm wondering if we could go into what it means to go to – the baseball, you know, the various, you know, the World Series or the baseball tournament, you know, all these things where baseball programs go, you know, towards the end of the year. And this is going to be choppy again because there's so much to your bio of so many things that you've done and places your team has gone and placed and everything. But when you're in the NCAA tournament, what's that like? Fill in my choppiness here, because you've gone to that a bunch of times. I don't have it. I'm scrolling through trying to. I can't put all the stats together.
Yeah. Well, we haven't been in 3 years, but I can tell you from my memory, we've done really well the last 3 years in our regular season, but we haven't we haven't done so well in our conference tournament. So we're hoping to bring the St. Joseph's Magic back, and we'll actually host our conference tournament this year here in about a week and a half, so it's
wow.
coming at us soon. But when you get the NCAA tournament, it's certainly something special. There's a couple of ways to get there. The most likely way to get there is from winning your conference tournament. Each conference gets an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. There is a process for getting an at-large bid if you don't win your conference tournament, but there are very few of those at-large bids, and they're assigned nationally, so it's very, very competitive. So really the way for us to get there is to win our conference tournament. And we had done that for 5 years in a row, which we're pretty proud of, before mm-hmm. this last three-year drought that we're in. So we're hoping to turn that around. But it's special when you get there because – you know, the next step, if you can happen to win that regional, which we've never done, but if you can win that NCAA regional, then you move on to Appleton, Wisconsin for the Division III College World Series. So, it's just really special because you're down to that last few teams in the nation that has that kind of an opportunity. It's great competition, tremendous atmosphere. Very high level of play. Those games are just so much fun to coach in because there's such a level of intensity there, and you know, every pitch matters. That's when it's just kind of fun for me to stand in the back of the dugout and, you know, see all the guys, you know, leaning over the railing or on the top step and just hanging on every pitch. That's such a fun atmosphere to coach in.
It sounds like a blast. Have you do you go to the World Series anyway? Maybe not as a team, but you personally, do you go and watch that every year or anything like that?
I don't. I'll tell you, one of the coolest things that I ever did was in 2001, I believe it was, when we had a young man named Steve Osborne. He was probably one of our, you know, all-time great hitters here. He had a tremendous senior year. He hit 22 home runs and had 79 RBIs in a, you know, 40-game season. So had an amazing year, and he was part of the NCAA Home Run Challenge, where they invite the top 8 home run hitters in the country to go to Omaha for the, you know, for the College World Series and compete in a home run derby the night before the World Series starts. So that was definitely a highlight for me to go to the Division I College World Series, see Steve compete in that home run challenge, and then stay and watch some games. Was certainly a highlight. But again, it's an amazing atmosphere. They've got a new stadium now. I haven't been there, but college baseball is just tremendous. So.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a giant. It seems to me like it's a giant baseball family.
It is. That's one of the things that's really nice about baseball people. I mean, we're all very, very competitive, but people will bend over backwards to help each other, supportive of each other. Baseball is really, it is a close-knit family. I can't imagine, you know, any other group of coaches in any sport that you know, really have the kind of kinship that baseball coaches do. I think it's part of the sport, it's part of the tradition, and it's just kind of the way that the game has always been. So
yeah, there's something completely different about it. And there's from just even a mom point of view, looking in, it's like, wow, that's really cool. And I really love it when everybody takes care of the youth, the younger players, and everything. You know, it's kind of like what you're saying, like if they're coachable, there's, you know, it just seems like there's a group that embraces the players so much, and it almost seems whether you're coaching them or not, if you know them, you're watching out for them.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was wondering if you could take a moment and talk about your season. This season, talk about some of the teams that you play, just sort of give us maybe an overview. And I'm going to check time. We got a little bit more time here. But could you do that for me? And for the listeners, just talk about, you know, your team, your season that you're having, and, you know, what's next. I heard you kind of say that things are sort of, I guess it's April already, isn't it, the end of April. The snow melt out there?
Yeah, we've still got some snow out behind
too.
The field where we piled it when we cleared the field, but that's the way it works here with New England college baseball, that's for sure. No, it's been a great year. It's been a real fun team. I mean, we have a pretty young group in a lot of ways, but that's kind of made it fun. We started out in Florida, and we started out the first day. We swept a doubleheader. We played great. We didn't make an error in two games. We were off to a great start. And then we had our typical ups and downs that you're going to have when you're on your spring trip trying to figure things out. So I think we ended up 5-5 coming out of Florida. Overall, that's a pretty good start. And now we've just, you know, kind of really gone on a tear up here. So I think we're like 23-8 now. Only lost 3 games since we've been back from Florida. Still, I don't think have still played our best baseball. And I think our team's still kind of on an upward trend here. We've had some really good pitching of late. We're playing pretty good defense. Our lineup is coming around. We have something that we always haven't been blessed with, a lot of speed. But this year we've got tremendous speed at the top of our lineup. Young man named Jared Gagne has really come into his own. He plays the outfield for us. He's got right around 20 stolen bases, and then our two-hitter right behind
wow.
him is Joe Murphy, our shortstop, and he's up over 20 stolen bases, too.
Speed.
yeah, it's really
awesome.
Nice to have that speed. It's exciting at the top of the lineup. Our guys can bunt, run, hit and run, do those types of things.
That's
we
cool.
handle the bat pretty well. That's a kind of fun brand of baseball to play. And the thing I like about this team is they're really, really mentally focused. We spent a lot of time working on the mental game this year, very specifically. And I think it's paying dividends. We've won a lot of close games. We've come from behind. It's a pretty mentally tough group. So they just you know, kind of grind things out no matter what happens. And that kind of composure is pretty important in baseball.
Well, and I see some names on here of kids that I've known since they were little pipsqueaks. So number four,
yep.
Hunter Richardson, I've known him since he
sure.
was tiny. Yeah. But I'm looking at your roster, and that's Maine kid. But everybody on the team isn't from Maine. They're from everywhere.
Yeah. That's changed a lot over the years. My first, God, I'd say 15 years, the majority of our roster, maybe 75-80% of the kids at times, were from the state of Maine. And I kind of like it that way. I mean, I'm a Maine
mm-hmm.
born and bred kid and love Maine baseball and Maine kids. However, times they are a-changing. You know, we've really, I think our success has allowed us to go outside of Maine and bring in recruits from New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, you know, guys from all over, or at least all over the Northeast. And so we've tried to take advantage of that. So we're just looking for good ball players wherever we can find them. And we, you know, we work hard to try to attract the right guys. We look
yeah.
for really good students. So.
Oh, yeah. There's that student-athlete again. Now, there's another – do you mind if I talk about certain – players that I
no.
know, or does that matter,
no.
or should I be quiet? No.
But
well, there's another one of our favorite pitchers is plays for you, Luke Quenda.
Yes. Yep. Luke's an amazing young man.
He's
really developed as a pitcher here. Probably the hardest worker in the program.
Don't you think?
Yep.
He's a great kid.
Yep.
yep.
He really gets after it. He really buys into everything that Coach Lincoln does with our pitching staff and works his tail off. And I had a good conversation with him the other day because he started a ball game for us, and I had a pretty quick hook with him at one point, you know, relatively early on in the game. But he's got this nice, steady trend of his improvement, and it's due to his work ethic. So, and he's a sophomore now. And
is he really?
I think,
wow, that
yeah,
went fast.
Yeah, I think the best is in front of him though, because you know, he continues to get better because he works so hard, and his velocity's improved, his location's improved, his breaking ball's getting sharper, and he's just, you know, not very far away from being a top guy.
Yeah,
and he's got the work ethic to get there. So.
Yeah, we watched him play a lot of baseball around here, and he's a really good kid. So that's great to hear. I bet we could go through the entire roster one by one and end this show tomorrow.
Absolutely. I could brag about them all day long. They're great young men to work with. So
yeah, no, they're a bunch of neat kids. So this is, you know, just to talk about a few that are, you know, from here and so forth. That, you know, their names are ringing bells to me. So that's why I did that. But everybody's
yep.
amazing on the team, I'm sure. And we probably don't have time to go through everybody.
No.
Okay, so we're running out of time. But what I want to ask you, is there anything like I haven't talked about that you were like, okay, let's talk about this? You know, is there a direction that the show could go in that you want to talk about something else that I completely missed? I'm sure I've missed a lot of things.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that maybe we could flush out a little bit more is what we've done this year with the mental aspect of baseball.
Oh, good.
I think
yeah, please.
I think this is something that, you know, in my coaching over the years, that I haven't done a very good job of. Because if you ask any group of baseball people, I did this fall with our team. I said, guys, tell me how much you think this game is about the mind, about mental stuff. What percentage of the game do you think is about your mind and about the mental aspect of the game? And, you know, baseball guys will tell you, oh, it's 70% mental, it's 80% mental, it's 90% mental. Yet, it's probably the least coached aspect I know of what I've done.
Yeah.
So this year we decided we're really going to focus in on this. We were really motivated. Coach Lincoln and I were down in Texas at a place called the Texas Baseball Ranch. Great pitching guru down there named Ron Wolforth. We kind of have adopted a lot of his philosophies about pitching. And he brought in Brian Kane, who is, you know, nationally and internationally renowned speaker and sports performance coach. And we kind of really connected with him and kind of bought into his process and spent a ton of time working on it this year. One of the things that we did with Brian Kane is called Five to Thrive. It's a 5-week program where our guys would watch a 5-minute video 5 days a week for 5 weeks, all about the mental aspect of the game, mental training, imagery, shadowing, all stuff designed to build mental toughness, breathing, self-talk, all these, you know, kind of cue words that you've heard. But mm-hmm. we really studied that over 5 weeks. The guys were put together with what is called their accountability partners, so guys that they would watch the videos with and then fill out the workbook, and then we had weekly meetings on this stuff and different videos that we watched. And I found that what I think is a pretty good way to incorporate that into our daily activities. So every day, the first 15 minutes of either practice or even before we start a game is all mental game stuff.
Yep.
We start off with breathing. We do positive imagery. We do confident self-talk. We shadow. We have our high five zone. It's really something that our young men have really bought into. They see guys doing it at the big league level. That helps. And I think it's making a big difference for us. I think our confidence is up. Guys know how to handle failure. They know how to red light a certain situation when it's not going well and refocus. It's been a lot of fun to work with, and I think I'm hoping that it pays dividends in kind of, you know, crunch time in the playoffs here.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's you're the first coach I've had on who's talked about an actual program for it. I was hoping someone would come on and talk about that and their use of it in a setting. So that's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah. How much of the game do you think is mental?
I think at this level, I don't know, it's kind of hard to quantify, but
isn't it?
I'd say 75 or 80%, you know, when you're, because there's so much failure in the game, there's so much kind of dead time and downtime in our game, and your mind can either be a tremendous asset or you can screw yourself up pretty easy if you don't know how to focus and stay positive. So and then it's not bringing in a guru to talk about it. It's not hearing a speech on it for 5 minutes. It's about having a strategy to deal with it. And we do it every day. You know, it's kind of
like
crazy.
Action plan.
We'll get to an away game. We'll go down, you know, Wednesday to play UMass Boston. And the first thing our guys will do is we'll go out to left field and they'll all lay down on their backs and I'll take them through some team breathing. And people look at us and think we're crazy. You know, I'm out there standing in the outfield and I'm saying, okay, inhale, 1, 2, 3, you know, hold, 1, 2, exhale, you know, to really, you know, we begin the day with some good mental game techniques. And I think it's paying off. Our guys seem to enjoy it, and I can see them using this stuff in games. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I raised that actually. I think it's me personally because I coach this. You know, sometimes the mental part of things, whether it's executives
sure.
and so forth, and sometimes it depends on the situation and so forth. But like I've trained a certain someone that's about 90%, you
yep.
know, kind of thing, and like how you deal with a loss or how you deal with a teammate who's, you know, having a rough time or whatever. There's so many different things. What I love about what you're doing is that's just not about baseball. That's lifelong.
Absolutely.
That whole thing will suit them beautifully their whole entire life. Like
right.
I wish we would do that with middle schoolers.
Yep. Yep.
I wish that was part of a curriculum in school to teach you to breathe, to step back, to pause, to think positively. You know, all those different things that help people be their best are so cool. So
right.
that's neat that to hear that. Thank you for. I'm glad I asked that question because I had no idea if we were done or not, and we weren't. So that's great to hear. That that's awesome. And can you repeat the names too? Because you know somebody listening might want to connect with them or connect. Do you mind if people ask you? People
no, not
call
at
you?
All. Not at all, but you can also go to briankain.com,
okay.
C-A-I-N. Done a lot of work with the, you know, Division I programs in
sure.
all different sports, professional players, guys like Evan Longoria and
yeah.
a whole slew of, you know, big league players. So he's also done some a lot of mixed martial arts guys, interestingly enough. But it's been a lot of fun just to try to figure out how to, you know, get our guys to buy into it. Because anytime you try something new and different, I mean, young people are pretty receptive to that stuff sometimes, but we're all human beings. And so sometimes we don't like to try things that are different or uncomfortable at first.
Yeah.
But our guys have been willing to do that, and I think they love it, and they're seeing the benefits, and I think they can see the transfer to the rest of their lives, too. So
yeah. It's like taking a baseball team to a yoga class.
Exactly.
You're like, huh? Yeah. But then you see somebody doing, like, you hear a pitcher like, yep, yoga's my thing. You know, a big league
right.
pitcher, yoga's my thing, and all of a sudden everybody's in yoga class.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting how that works. But
that's one of the ways we got them to buy in is we showed them some video of big leaguers,
yeah,
you know, using these techniques. So
yeah, that's really cool. That's great to hear.
It's been fun.
What did you say? Sorry.
No, it's just been fun to do it. So
yeah, no, I hear you. At any age, I think that stuff is so cool. It's like that lifelong learning thing. So. That's exciting to hear. So, all right, we're running out of time, but I want to – is there anything else that I missed? Because that was a great lesson.
No, I
– All right.
You know, I think we're good on my end.
All right, cool.
Happy to spend the time with you.
Oh, gosh, thank you so much for being here. What an honor. And you know us, so you've got nothing but respect for Coach Sanborn, so and the team, and
you.
Young Coach Sanborn, and just all the assistants that you have, and it's fun to watch. We were opening up the newspaper. We were gone this weekend in New Jersey all weekend. We opened up the newspaper to see how everybody did, and it's just great to see. So much continued success in everything you do, and to the team, and to everybody, and it's been just a joy to have you on here, and appreciate you teaching us things while you're here too, because it's cool to have a coach come on and coach us.
Thank
moments.
You. Good luck to you with everything you're
priceless
involved
moments.
In. Okay.
Awesome. All right. So to everybody listening, thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show, and thanks to Coach Sanborn for being here. He's the head baseball coach of St. Joseph's College in Maine. To visit his website, you can go to gomonks.com and click baseball. Got a link to the website on the show here, and we'll just follow them through the rest of their season. Go Monks, right? Yay.
Thank you.
I don't have a cheer button or anything that's going to play a video or audio on that, but it's great to see St. Joseph's doing so well and Coach Sanborn doing so well. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the Best Ever You Show. We will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with Philip Andrew. We're going to learn some more. That is not a baseball coach. He's more of an actor and sort of a humanitarian self-help guru. And so he'll be here at 1 p.m. tomorrow for just about the same thing, about a full hour. So, all right, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. And thanks to Coach Sanborn again. Thank you, Coach Sanborn.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Go Monks. Thank you. All right, take care, everybody. Have a great day, and thank you so much for listening to Best Ever You.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.